coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Gospel of Mark, a Bible study with Arno Bessel, pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the last episode of the series of studies on the Gospel of St. Mark. On Friday morning, Jesus had been crucified. He died at 3 o'clock that afternoon. Although the disciples who had pledged faithfulness to Jesus, even if it meant to die with him, they all fled. However, there were friends who cared for Jesus in his death. They would provide a decent burial of Jesus' body. The evangelist Mark, in chapter 15, verses 42 to 47, registered the event. Jesus is buried. And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. For the Jews, a new day started at sunset. Jesus died on Friday afternoon, and the Sabbath, the day of rest and of no work, was approaching. Hence, there was an urgency to get Jesus' body down from the cross before sundown, when the Sabbath began. Who would take down Jesus' body from the cross and bury it? A man called Joseph of Arimathea. He is not mentioned earlier during Jesus' ministry, neither was he chosen by Jesus as an apostle. However, he was a man who cared for Jesus. Joseph was a respected member of the council, that is, a member of the Sanhedrin, the high court of the Jewish nation. That means that not all of the members of the council voted in favor of Jesus' condemnation. Joseph of Arimathea certainly disagreed with the death sentence imposed to Jesus. Joseph was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, that is, he hoped in the Messiah. He believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Joseph took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Yes, courage was required because Pilate would not likely have been pleased to see a member of the council after that group had forced him to crucify an innocent man. Furthermore, Joseph's public identification with Jesus would enrage the other members of the council. Though prisoners sentenced to death gave up their right to burial under Roman law, their bodies were usually granted to relatives who asked for them. But Jesus' mother was emotionally exhausted from the ordeal. There is no evidence either that his brothers and sisters were in Jerusalem. In the absence of those closest to Jesus, Joseph courageously asked Pilate for Jesus' body. What was Pilate's reaction when the request came to him? He was surprised to hear that Jesus should have already died. Crucified men often lived 2 or 3 days before dying. Hence, Pilate's surprise that Jesus was dead after only 6 hours. Before granting the body of Jesus to Joseph, Pilate checked with the officer in charge of the crucifixion to verify that Jesus was really dead. Then Pilate granted the corpse to Joseph. Was Joseph of Arimathea the only person who took care of Jesus' burial? No. The evangelist John reports that Nicodemus joined in the task. Nicodemus was a Pharisee and also a member of the council who, on one occasion, came to Jesus at night and wanted to learn from him. Jesus spoke to him about being born again. Well, this Nicodemus brought a large amount of myrrh and aloes. These spices were used to mask the smell of decay. So Joseph and Nicodemus wrapped the body of Jesus in the linen shroud and laid him in a tomb. The Jews did not embalm corpses, but wrapped them in perfumed burial clothes. The tomb they buried Jesus' body was a new one, cut out of the rock, and belonged to Joseph himself. The location of the tomb was in a garden very near to the site of the crucifixion. The tomb was closed with a disc-shaped stone that rolled in a sloped channel. Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph witnessed the burial of Jesus' body, so they knew the location of the tomb. The burial of Jesus was the last step with which he completed his mission in the state of humiliation. He has fully paid for the sins of the entire world. Having this assurance, we can bury our loved ones, though in tears, not disheartened, but in hope. Our hope is nourished by the good news that followed on Easter Sunday. The evangelist Mark tells us in his Gospel chapter 16, verses 1 to 8, the extraordinary news of the resurrection. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb, and they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is good news indeed. It changes entirely the outlook of human existence because it places us beyond the grave. Good news of life. The Sabbath, a day of rest, was also a day of mourning for Jesus' disciples. The Sabbath ended at about 6 p.m. After that hour, spices could be bought in the market. That is what the women did, so that very early on Sunday morning they were up and ready to go to the tomb. Their heart must have been heavy laden and must have had before their eyes a picture of the corpse of Jesus. They wanted to pay their ultimate respect to Jesus and anoint his body. Since the Jews did not use to embalm corpses, the anointing with spices was an act of devotion and love. The evangelist Mark mentions Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome going to the tomb. The evangelist Luke mentions that Joanna and other women were also there. Although the women had good plans, one obstacle stood in their way. "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" they asked. Setting the large stone in place was a relatively easy task, but once it had slipped into the groove, cut in the bedrock in front of the entrance, it was very difficult to remove. However, there was no reason to worry because when the women approached the tomb, they saw the stone had been rolled back. What happened? The women entered the tomb and then they faced a second surprise. They saw a young man sitting on the right side dressed in a white robe. It was an angel sent by God. Understandably, the women were alarmed. Who wouldn't be? But then resounded the extraordinary news. The angel said, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they had laid him." This was totally unexpected by the women. It must have taken some time to the news of Jesus' resurrection to sink into their minds and hearts. The angel gave instructions to the women to share the news with the disciples, and specifically Peter is singled out. Why Peter? Because he had denied Jesus and needed to be assured that, despite his denials, he was still loved by Christ. The disciples are told to go to Galilee, where they will be met by the risen Lord. All these events overwhelmed the women. They went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The women were temporarily overcome by fear and could not speak. Once the feelings had settled, they did spread the news. We believe in Jesus who was crucified, buried, and who rose from the grave. He is risen. This is the climax of Jesus' mission. Without the resurrection, Jesus' death, though noble, would be extremely tragic. But in the resurrection, Jesus is declared to be the Son of God, endowed with power. The resurrection is vital for several specific reasons. 1. The resurrection of Jesus proves that he is the Son of God. This event testifies to the fact that Jesus was not just a human being, but that he was and is God indeed, able to overcome sin, devil, and death. 2. The resurrection of Jesus proves that his teaching is the truth. What is said and predicted has been confirmed. We can trust in Jesus' teaching, for they are genuine and eternal. 3. The resurrection of Jesus proves that God the Father has accepted the sacrifice of his Son for the reconciliation of the world. If Jesus had not been raised, his sacrifice would have been a failure. However, Jesus Christ was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification, says the Apostle Paul. 4. The resurrection of Jesus proves that all believers shall rise unto eternal life. Jesus himself says, "Because I live, you also will live. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." The reformer Martin Luther makes the following comments on the resurrection of Jesus. He says, "The blessed resurrection is pure joy, because we hear that our greatest treasure, Jesus, over which we rejoice, is already in heaven above, and that only the most insignificant part, that is the body, remains behind, and that he will awaken this too, and draw it after him as easily as a person awakens from sleep. There will no longer be grief or suffering, and neither world nor devil will plague and sadden us anymore." Again, Martin Luther writes, "A Christian must accustom himself to think about Christ's victory, the victory in which everything has already been accomplished and in which we have everything we should have. Henceforth, we live only to spread among other people the news of what Christ has achieved." The good news of Happy Easter needs to be spread. The evangelist Mark tells in chapter 16, verses 9 to 11, that Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. "Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. Mary Magdalene was a disciple of Jesus. In the earlier days of his ministry, Jesus cast out 7 demons from her. Mary and others supported Jesus out of their means while he traveled to do his work. Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene on Easter Sunday early morning. She became a messenger of the good news of Jesus' resurrection. She told the disciples, who were mourning and weeping, that Jesus had been risen. However, they did not believe it. Sadly, today many people react in the same way, with unbelief. For them, Jesus is unreal, and consequently, believing in his resurrection is ridiculous. Jesus dealt with the unbelief of his disciples. In Mark chapter 16, verses 12 and 13, the evangelist tells us that Jesus appears to 2 disciples. After these things, he appeared in another form to 2 of them as they were walking in the country. And they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. The names of these 2 disciples are not mentioned. From the evangelist Luke, we learn that the 2 disciples were traveling on the road to Emmaus when Jesus appeared to them in a form they did not recognize him initially. The 2 disciples became witnesses of Jesus' resurrection and went back to Jerusalem and told the other disciples, but they did not believe them. Even after a second eyewitness report, the disciples did not believe that Jesus was risen from the dead. Human nature is pictured here once again. It does not believe and cannot believe on its own power. Faith is a divine work which God, Holy Spirit, must implant in us, for we cannot believe by ourselves. Jesus had compassion on his unbelieving disciples. Therefore, he went to show himself alive to them and to give them instructions to spread the good news of life. The evangelist Mark closes the Gospel in chapter 16, verses 14 to 20, with the account of the Great Commission. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink a deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. Jesus appeared to the 11 apostles, since Judas Iscariot had committed suicide. While they were reclining at table, that is, gathered around a table for a meal, the risen Lord came to them. Jesus rebuked the 11 for their unbelief and hardness of heart. They had been told by eyewitnesses that Jesus had been risen, but they refused to accept the truth. Once the unbelief of the apostles was replaced by faith, Jesus commanded them to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. And Jesus added, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Through the preaching of the gospel and through baptism, the Holy Spirit grants faith in Jesus. Whoever is given faith has Jesus' promise of eternal salvation. The Christian Church of today is bound to the same mission as the early church, to go to every part of the world to share the gospel and to baptize as many as possible. After all, it is God's sincere desire that all people be saved. You and I are called to take part in this noble mission in the way we can and with the means we have received. This is also the main reason why Lutheran Radio UK is on air. It is all about Christ and to all God's people. You can help to preach the gospel by supporting this radio station with your donations and prayers. Jesus promised his apostles that the preaching of the gospel would be accompanied by signs, including casting out demons, speaking in tongues, and healing the sick. These signs were promised to the apostolic community. By these signs, the truthfulness and reliability of the gospel were confirmed. Having said that, the evangelist Mark makes a brief reference to the ascension of Jesus into heaven, which took place 40 days after his resurrection. Jesus had completed his mission on earth, and then he went to heaven. There he continues active at the right hand of God, that is, occupying a position of authority, ruling the universe as Lord and God, and particularly caring for his church on earth. The apostles carried out the task, going to different regions and preaching the gospel. They started in Jerusalem, and then throughout the Roman province of Judea, Samaria, and finally Rome itself. Over the centuries, the gospel has been spread in many parts of the world. Thanks to God, the gospel reached us. The main purpose and task of the Christian Church continues to be this: to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. This is the last episode on the series of studies on the Gospel according to St. Mark. If you missed any of the studies, or if you would like to listen to them again, go to the website of Lutheran Radio UK and find podcasts. You can download the studies for free. Thank you for being with us. May God bless and keep you.